Allah Rabbul Izzah Jalla Jalaluhu wa Amma Nawaluhu says that follow the best of that has been revealed to you. Now the word, the best, ahsana, it could mean the good injunctions that have been revealed in the Quran. It could also refer to those deeds that are relatively arduous in comparison to the concessions that the Sharia has been given. And these deeds are the azaim, they carry greater reward than the concessions do. So perhaps in a certain instance, just say there's a concession for you to act in a particular manner, like maybe at the time of wudu, if you have a continuous problem and you can make one wudu for the entire time, but to make a fresh wudu, things like that where there are concessions but you practice on the latter of the law. It may also refer to the acts of worship which hold the most reward in comparison to others. Or it may mean those laws which have not been abrogated should be carried out instead of those which have been abrogated. Sayyidina Atha has mentioned that in this verse from قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا till the verse that we are discussing, they were revealed in Madinatul Munawwara with reference to Sayyidina Wahsh ibn Harb radiallahu anhu. Now you may be knowing who's Wahsh ibn Harb. He was the one who, as a kafir, he martyred the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hamza, during the Battle of Uhud. And these verses convey the message that a person should never lose hope in that being that forgives. Even though he may have committed the worst of sin, he should constantly obey Allah's commands and abstain from all sins, fearing that Allah's punishment may overtake him. And the reason for this is to avoid a situation of the Qiyamah where a soul should lament, antaqula, nafsu ya hasrata, ala ma faratu fi jambillahi, wa in kuntu lamina sakhirin. Woe be to me for the neglect I showed with regards to Allah. In fact, in addition to being disobedient to Allah, I was also from amongst those who mocked the mu'mineen. Adherence to the Sharia is also necessary so that no soul on the day of Qiyamah will say that, أو تقول لو أن الله هداني لكنت من المتقين. Had Allah shown me the way, I would have been amongst those who fear. And when remorse and regret will be of no avail, then in order to divert one's heart, one will offer lame excuses. What should I say? Allah did not guide me. Had He guided me, I would have also reached the rank of the virtuous. This reply, a reply to this is given in the next few verses. أو تقول حين ترى عذابه لو أن لكرة فأكون من المحسنين. Or a person may say that if I were to go back to the world, they would return to what they have been prohibited. Then their truly lie is that if I go back there, it would only if I could go back into the world, I could become of the righteous ones. The desire to return to the world. And this is when remorse and excuses will prove to be of no value. At that time, a person will wish that he could go back to this world. And when they had already wasted their life, then it's all likely that going back to the world would bring the same result. Bala, indeed, قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِي, my verses came to you. فَكَذَّبْتَ بِهَا, and you falsified them. وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ, and you were arrogant. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and you are from amongst the disbelievers. Allah Rabbul Izzah then describes the scene of the Day of Qiyamah by saying, on the Day of Qiyamah, you will see the faces of those who lied about Allah will be dark. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةَ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُ مُسْوَدَّةٌ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. These will be the people who ascribe partners to Allah and attributed such things to Him which is free. And despite the fact that the truth came to them, these people behaved arrogantly and refused to accept. They were rather more concerned about what their peers and associates would say. Allah Rabbul Azim say to them, أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Is there not an abode in Jahannam for the arrogant? Jahannam shall certainly be their eternal abode. Jahannam shall certainly be their eternal abode. Because this is what they chose. This is the line that they wanted, and this is what they in the end got because of the choice that they made. وَيُنَجِّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا بِمَفَاذَتِهِمْ لَا يَمَسُّهُمُ السُّوءُ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. On the other hand, Allah will rescue those with taqwa, those who did good actions, those who shun sin, those who shun kufr, those who shun shirk. Allah will rescue them by virtue of their success. No evil punishment will touch them, neither shall they grieve in any way. Allah then describes the greatness of Allah Rabbul Izzah, and He says, Allahu khaliq kulli shay. Allah is the creator of everything. Wa huwa ala kulli shay wakil. Allah is the administrator of everything. Lahu maqalidu samawati wal ardh. The keys to the heavens and the earth are with Allah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. As for those who reject the verses of Allah, the words of Allah, they are the ones that will truly fall into loss. The unbelievers alone are in loss. Allah created everything, and He has also taken responsibility of protecting, maintaining and continuing the existence of everything. He alone has the authority and the power to execute rights over everything. This is because He alone possesses the keys to the treasures of everything. Yet the unbelievers are not willing to accept the powers of Allah. And because of that, the enormity of their transgression, they become worthy of eternal condemnation. قُلْ أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَأْمُرُونِي أَعْبُدُ أَيُّهَا الْجَاهِلُونَ. Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullah has reported that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu has said that the mushrikeen told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to worship their gods, and after which they would also, so they wanted to do some sort of a bartering, worship our gods for a while and then we will worship your gods. To that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, O ignorant ones, أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَأْمُرُونِي. Do you command me to worship others besides Allah? Do you command me to worship? It's the height of immaturity. It is the height of foolishness. It is the height of ignorance that a person leaves the worship of Allah and then hopes that the Nabi will follow his way. This is unimaginable, considering the lofty position. وَلَقَدْ أُوحْيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Indeed, we have sent a revelation to you and to those Nabis before you. Allah Rabbul Izzah lays it bare. لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That if you perpetrate shirk, your deeds will certainly be wasted without any reward, and you will definitely become of the losers. That is that you will have lost your life in futility, achieving nothing but eternal damnation. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were innocent of all sins, and it was impossible for them to perpetrate kufr or shirk. However, if one assumes that they could ever perpetrate kufr or shirk, even they would be unable to save themselves from Allah's chastisement. Therefore, how can any other people accept any mercy from Allah's chastisement when they have committed shirk? بَلِلَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah Rabbul Izzah says that, rather worship Allah and be from amongst the grateful ones. بَلِلَّهَ فَعْبُدْ. Worship Allah. And وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Be from the grateful ones. Allah raised Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in an environment of kufr and shirk, but still safeguarded him from those verses. And it's a blessing that Allah had commanded him to be grateful. Allah advises Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to ignore the temptations of kufr and to continue worshipping Allah Rabbul Izzah. Now, from a rational point of view, creating everything, continuing the existence of everything, exercising all powers over everything, are all in the hands of Allah alone, and therefore none can be worshipped except Allah. And if we were to view this from a traditional angle, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam and all the divinely revealed religions are united on the authenticity of Tawheed and the illegitimacy of polytheism. In fact, every Nabi was shown through divine revelation that in the year after, all actions of polytheists are in vain. and that the consequences of polytheism is nothing but absolute deprivation, absolute loss. It is therefore the duty of every man to turn away from everything else and to worship one Allah alone. And that one should remain grateful and loyal to one Allah alone. Man should understand Allah's greatness and might. One should not ascribe weak and despicable creatures as partners with Allah. One should regard Allah to be great, to be lofty, to be mighty. And that is why it is outlined to us that we haven't truly understood the position of Allah. Although Allah cannot be seen in this world, His attributes are of might are clearly manifest in this world. Every thinking person may realize. Every thinking person may realize that Allah has created everything. And therefore, Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. However, there are those who ascribe partners to Allah and worship other beings. Not only are they themselves mushrikeen, but they even attempt to convince Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to commit shirk. And it is these people that Allah says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِ. They have not understood Allah as He really is. They have not revered Allah as He ought to be revered. It is extremely foolish not to worship Allah when His great powers are displayed to man every day of his life, and on the day of Qiyamah as well. The tremendous power of Allah will become evident. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. Subhanallah. The entire earth will be within the grasp of Allah, and the skies will be folded in His right hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala ma yushrikun. Glory be to Allah. He is above what they attribute. So the polytheists, they did not understand and recognize the power and the might of Allah, the greatness and the loftiness of Allah, as servants ought to. Can a person who has oversight of the right of Allah ever ascribe weak, helpless, lifeless statues of rocks as partners of Allah? That is impossible. It can never happen. Some of only people who have no understanding will fall for that. The heavens and the earth are a mere handful. When the condition of Allah's grand status is such that on the day of Qiyamah, the entire earth will be in His one hand, and all the heavens will be rolled up like a sheet of paper. How can it be permissible to ascribe lifeless or weak and needy creatures as partners to Allah? Now, those partners themselves are lying within that handful of His. He can do what He likes then to them, and they cannot do us anything to Him whatsoever. When we say the right hand, the word the right hand, that is from the allegorical words mutashabihat of the Quran. It is incumbent to believe in them without asking about their nature. And some of the ulama state that Allah's both hands are right, wa kilta yaday yameen. In this way, tangibility, partiality and direction are negated. So that is just a clarity with regards to the issue of the hands of Allah, and we need to understand the mighty position of Allah Rabbul Izzah. It brings us to verse number 67.